Spiritual growth always begins with a healthy root system. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell continues in his series on becoming rooted and grounded in Christ.
As for me and my house, I intend to stand right here with the Bible. And I will not move, and I will do everything I can to encourage men and women everywhere to honor God and honor His Bible, because God is the designer of the family, and we have no right to go around calling ourselves a Christian and denying the basic tenets of the Word of God.
We live in a shallow and uprooted society. But as Christians, we can be firmly rooted in our relationship with Christ. In our series, Rooted for Growth, we will discover the nutrients we need to remain spiritually strong. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every part of your life is impacted negatively. Through today's scriptures, we will explore what it means to be a rooted Christian who is growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called A Rooted Family.
We need leaders who know what they believe and stand by what they believe. And my friend, we do not believe in evolution. We believe that we came from Creator God, and we're not here with an evolving position. Christians have a preserved, once delivered position, and it comes from the Word of God. And we need some Christian leaders in this nation who will stand by what the fixed Word of God says. The Word of God. If I didn't say it clearly enough, let all the Democrats and the president and a few of the Republicans and the NEA and the rest of them stand over here. I'm going to stand right here with the Bible. And if you don't like that, there's eight doors in the back of this auditorium. We're going to stand on the Word of God, and we're not going to be moved. God is the designer. God is the builder. We will stand where God stands. I'm going to tell you what, it's a precious thing when young people honor God at their wedding. We believe around here that a wedding is a sacred event, and that we're doing something godly. It's not just a party. It's not a time to drink or act weird. It's a time to honor God. Marriage is God's institution. He's the designer of it. And I say to you that a wise man will build his house on the Word of God. And the Bible says in Matthew 7:24, wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Hey, build your house on the rock, Christ Jesus. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, Jesus said, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Thank God our forefathers built this country on the principles of God and His Word. You go to D.C., you look at the monuments, you read our sacred documents, you'll see the references to God and the Bible. And I'm telling you, America was built on the rock, and now we're throwing the Ten Commandments out, and now we're ridiculing the Christian faith, and now we're denigrating Christian teenagers, and now we're trying to redefine even the family that God find in His Word. And what is it? It's sandy loam. I'm telling you, we must get back to the solid rock, Christ Jesus, in this land. God is the designer. God is the builder. And I've got to tell you something. God is the protector. God will protect a home and a people who seek Him. The Bible says in verse number one, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. The word keep means to guard or protect. Psalm 121 and verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forever. The idea simply is this. God says, I want you to be completely dependent upon me. God is a powerful, sovereign God. And He says, you can do what you can do, but I can do what I can do, and I can do a whole lot more. And you are wise to let me be your builder, and you are wise to let me be your protector. And then I want you to see, fourthly, that He is our provider. It is the Lord that provides for us, and that's why it's so ridiculous for leaders today to disregard God in the Bible. How can we sing God Bless America when we are rejecting the very teachings of God? The Bible says in verse number 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. He said, I want to provide sustenance for you. I want to provide safety for you. How many of you are thankful today that you have a God that's provided for your needs? I mean, he's been good to us. He's blessed us. This is not the time to go against him, his teachings, his moral laws. This is the time in America to seek his face and to follow his ways and to learn of him. Oh, I thank God that he provides, that he's been so good to us. Sometimes when I think of the graciousness and the goodness of God, I think it is truly best reflected from the heart of a mother. I heard about a school teacher who was teaching her children, and she said, now, what if your mother baked a pie and there were 7 of you, your parents, and 5 children? What part of that pie would you get? One little boy said, I would get a 1/6. The teacher said, I don't think you understand your fractions very well. The little boy said, well, I don't think you know my mother very well. My mother would say she didn't want any pie and she'd give me an extra piece. You know, the fact of the matter is today that mothers are giving people and God has given to us so bountifully. And we would be wise to thank him for his provision rather than turn our face away from him. We can rise up early, we can work hard and late into the night, but we will never be able to provide without God's provision. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And if you are a Christian today, and especially a giving Christian today, then you know that your blessings come from above and that it's not of us, but it's from God, and that he is our provider. He has provided physically for us. He has provided safety for us. Listen, thank God for our defense industry and for all of the armament that we may build, but we must understand our greatest need is the protecting hand of God today. That's the greatest need in this land today. I don't know about you, but every once in a while when I was a kid, I felt like I needed protection from my mom. As much as I knew she loved me, she showed it to me in strange ways, too. Heard about a little boy who was sent to bed by his mother, and 5 minutes later he said, Mom, I'm thirsty. Can I have a glass of water? She said, no, we already talked about that. Go to bed, lights out. 5 minutes later, Mom, I'm thirsty. Can I have a glass of water? No, we already talked about that. Now, if you ask again, I'm going to have to spank you. Mom, what? When you come in to spank me, will you bring me a glass of water? He knew the system. Moms know how to take care of us, don't they? Sometimes we probably felt we needed to be taken care of from them. But the fact of the matter is that our God knows exactly what we need and when we need it. He's the designer. He is the provider. He is the builder. If you are not seeking God, then you are building on sand and not on the solid rock today. The foundation of the family is the Lord. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now you listen to me. You can take any kind of a combination of creatures and you could legally call it a family, but I'm telling you, it is sandy. It is sinking. It is not pleasing to God unless it is done God's way. That's the fact of the matter. The foundation of the family. I want you to notice, secondly, the fruit of the family. The fruit of the family. Look at verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, I think it's important that we remember that children are the possession of the Lord. They are the heritage of the Lord. The word heritage here means the property of the Lord, the possession of the Lord. Children are the heritage of the Lord. Moms and dads, they are not our children. Now I forget that, and you forget that sometimes, but when you step back and get a biblical paradigm, you have to recognize the fact children are the heritage, they're the possession of the Lord. That means then that we are stewarding God's gift to us, just like you get a paycheck and you're to have a budget and you steward that finances, those finances according to the will of God. God says, these are your children. I want you to take care of them, discipline, nurture them, train them, guide them, because they're not really yours. They're my possession. I'm putting them in your care for a little while. And by the way, how many of you would say, what a sobering responsibility? And I think every mother here would say that when you realized you were expecting and you realized God was going to give you the opportunity and the privilege to raise children, it was exciting, but there was a sense that came over you, something like, whoa, what a great responsibility this is. I have the responsibility, and we as parents have a responsibility to take the possession of the Lord and treat it right and train them well. And this is our responsibility, and that begins when we ourselves have a heart for God. Look at your notes this morning, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now, before we can teach it to our children, it's got to be in our heart. We've got to have a love for God. We've got to recognize that He is our God, and we love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. Then He says, I want you to teach the children, and I want you to talk to the children about this. And when you're walking, and when you're lying down, and when you rise up, I want your home to be a place where you are training up my possession, where you're treating my children well, where you're training them in the ways of God. And thank God for parents who take this seriously. And thank God for children who have the privilege of receiving such training. John Wesley said, I learned more about God from my mother than from all of the theologians in England. Thank God for mothers who teach the biblical principles of the Word of God, who read the Scripture and teach the Scripture and sing the little songs that have the names of Jesus and the attributes of God. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Listen, if you're a young mother this morning, don't let Sesame Street or whatever it is today raise your children, but get the Word of God and get some help from the Christian bookstore perhaps, and talk to some of the mothers that are maybe a little older and learn how to instill Bible-based principles into the hearts of these children. Why? Because they're not your children, they are God's children. Children are the heritage of the Lord. But notice what else that verse says. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Say that with me, that phrase, would you? And the fruit. Now, God is sovereign in the matters of the womb, and I know we have many wonderful moms in this church, and we have many wonderful ladies who have not physically had a child. Some have adopted and so forth. But if and when someone is expecting, the Bible says the fruit of the womb is a reward. It is a reward. God always elevates the sanctity of life in the Bible. And here is another case in our culture where we seem to have the clear teachings of God and the clear denial of the teachings of God amongst people who still say, we need the blessings of God. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5 is very clear. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God said, look it, I formed you in the belly. I knew you before then. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You know what? God has a purpose for every preborn child. God knows them. God has a plan for their life. Luke 2 and verse 5. Those of us who are Christians would understand. It says there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And the word child there is significant. It is the same word that is used for the preborn child. God does not differentiate in his Bible. The child still in the mother's womb, the child that's come out of the mother's womb is still a child in God's eyes. He recognizes that life. And at the moment of conception, the preborn child is genetically radically distinct from his or her mother and a creation of God, created with a purpose. And all that we would recognize today, Surgeon General C. Everett Koop said, in 35 years of medicine, I have never seen one case where abortion was necessary to save a mother's life. I'm just saying again this morning, when it comes to the matter of life and where it begins, I don't care if every Republican in America changes and flip-flops on that because they're trying to please their base. And by the way, it's time that some leaders in America stop trying to please their base and start trying to please God. And I'm saying to you this morning that life begins at conception and that we must stand where the Word of God stands on that matter. Sometimes I sense even evangelicals flip-flopping. I have pastor friends even in this community who are starting to waver and who will support politicians who are against the family, against the Bible, and against the preborn child and calling themselves evangelical. They ought to go ahead and call themselves what they are. They are liberal Bible deniers is what they are. Say, Pastor, you seem a little fired up today. I am fired up that clergymen would let this country burn and turn from God. It's time that pastors and people and Christians everywhere said, enough is enough. We better get back to the Bible while there's still time. That's the matter of it. And I believe today that the fruit of the family, the child, is a gift from God, and we ought not to be ashamed to stand up and say that life begins at conception according to the Word of God. The foundation of the family is the Lord, and the fruit of the family is children. By the way, the Christian life's not that difficult. This isn't that difficult. It's not that we cannot understand it. It's that we do not want to obey it. Notice thirdly with me this morning, the future of the family. The future of the family. We've seen the foundation. How many of you believe the foundation of the family should be the Lord? How many of you believe the fruit of the family is the child, and that a child is a reward from God, not something to be disposed of, not something to be hated, something to be loved and cherished. But notice thirdly, the future of the family, verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Now some of you think, oh man, he's going to tell us that we need to have 10 or 12 children. I'm not going to tell you how many you have to have. All right, that's not my place, but I am going to tell you this. Children are a blessing from the Lord. They're a blessing, and they are the future. You know that. And those kids are the future. They're in our hands right now, but we're preparing the future. And that's why moms are so important, and that's why the family is so important, because this is where the future is formed. Now, I want you to notice in verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. So the first thing I want you to note is that direction is needed. Direction is needed. You see, a mighty warrior knows how to make an arrow. He knows how to weight the arrow. He knows how to design the arrow so that when that arrow is pulled in battle, boom, it's going to hit the target. You don't want an arrow that's got a slight variation in it. You don't want an arrow that doesn't have the right weight on the front or the back. When you go to battle, you want an arrow that you can pull back and that 60 yards away you can drop a target. You want that direction to be exactly on target. Just as I have friends who like to hunt with bow and arrow and make their own equipment, and they have it down to a fine art as they create these arrows and as they weight these arrows. So God gives to us children for 18 or so years, and we're to craft them, and we're to train them, and we're to polish them, and we're to prepare them, because when they go, we want them to go straight, and we want them to hit the target, which is to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got to give them that direction while we have them in our hands. Listen, it's not too early to start training our children these things. Talking about God and heaven, the love of God, and sin, and how we need to turn to Jesus for the forgiveness of our sin. Proverbs 4 and verse 1, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Oh, listen, today a direction is needed, and here is the question. Who is going to set the direction? And I'm sorry for Hollywood, but some of you this morning need to say, look, Hollywood, you are not setting the direction for my family. You cannot have my children. HBO, you cannot have my children. MySpace, you cannot have my children. And forgive me for sounding crude, but the same-sex marriage crowd, they can't produce children, but they would love to recruit yours. And some Christian family ought to say, you can't have my children. A direction is needed, and a direction that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we will raise our children for the Lord. Direction is needed. But then I want you to see, and this is beautiful. Stay with me. We're almost done. Leadership is provided. When you give direction to your children, leadership will be provided from your family. Now look what it says in verse 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, when we give direction to our children, we are essentially then training tomorrow's leaders. And that's why someone who works with young people, with children or with youth, sometimes we have the idea, well, I get to work with adults because I'm big and I'm important. Let me tell you something. In many respects, the younger you work with, the more the fruit and the longer lasting the fruit. I mean, you know what I do? I get to fix problems all the time with stubborn adults. You know what youth workers get to do and junior age workers get to do? They get to mold that arrow so that it goes right the first time. I'm not complaining about my job. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you, when you work with a young child, you are training the leader of tomorrow. So the Old Testament then, when there was someone standing in the gate of a city, they were there to take care of judicial business. They were there to request an audience with the king. They were there to defend from attack from an enemy. And so the teaching is this: as arrows are dispensable for a warrior to succeed in battle, so children are invaluable as defenders of the faith of their father and mother. They are helpers in times of litigation. They are there to be a blessing to the parents in their old age. And I'm just telling you, we need some parents that are godly someday, and some pastors and some city council members and some CEOs, and we need to raise up some leaders from their youth who know the truth of God and who can provide leadership to the next generation. And the greatest thing that a mom or dad can do is to give that biblical foundation to their children, you see. And by the way, the greatest of the greatest that a parent can ever do is to teach their child the way of salvation. And I want you to close with me as we look at that verse in your notes there, 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Again, let's not get the idea, well, you can really study the Bible when you turn 21. God says, I want you from a child to know it. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, this crowd over here thinks they can find salvation through all the ways. They're all good, you know. You can try any kind of, you know, Buddhism, Taoism, meditationism, anything normally but Christianity, right? Scientology. All the ways are just good. All the ways are fine. But the Bible says in this verse, 2 Timothy 3:15, that Timothy was wise to salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. And I want you to understand that the greatest leadership of the family is to lead a child to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to help them to realize that salvation was made possible because of the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, was virgin born, lived a perfectly sinless life, and then died on the old rugged cross and rose again for our justification. And I want you to understand today, there is no other name given under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. Every Christian mother wants her children to be saved. Every Christian mother wants her children to be in church. Every Christian mother has the heart of God in this matter, that from a child my young ones would know the Lord, that they would be saved. Maybe you're here today, maybe here with mom. The question is, will you be there with mom someday? The question is, will you spend eternity with the Lord? Because that will not happen unless you accept Christ as Savior. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. See the point here? The future, eternity is at stake. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, if you're here today and you're not sure that you have everlasting life with the Lord in heaven, I want to tell you something, friend. There is one way to find that everlasting life, and it is by the way of the cross.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you visit or live in Southern California, we would love for you to be our guest at Lancaster Baptist Church, Sunday mornings at 8:30 or 11 o'clock. You can find out more about our times and locations when you visit lancasterbaptist.org. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest resource entitled Continue, A Biblical Journey in Personal Discipleship. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. Continue is perfect for helping someone you love become rooted and grounded in God's Word. Each lesson includes a straightforward outline with support scriptures and is written so anyone can easily teach. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.